Now, before I do that, I want you to know that each of these three men that we will be ordaining as deacons and Michael Carpenter that we will ordain to the gospel ministry, all four of these men have been examined. The deacon candidates were nominated by you as a congregation and then considered by a special panel that we brought together to consider those deacon candidates. They were approved by the deacons themselves and then voted on and approved by the church in a family meeting in November. So they have gone through a fairly rigorous examination period up to this point to bring us to today. Now here are the qualifications that the Apostle Paul told Timothy were required of ministers. Here it is called an overseer or deacons. And so these are pretty high levels, and so we want you to know that these men were ordaining and Michael Carpenter are now perfect. They will never make a mistake ever the rest of their life. Every one of these men, we ask them, what do you think about these expectations? And they say, they're pretty high, and I probably don't always live up to them, but I will do my best with the church's support. So let's read this together. 1 Timothy chapter 3. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, an able teacher, not addicted to wine, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy, one who manages his own household competently, having his children under control with all dignity. If anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? He must not be a new convert, or he might become conceited and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Furthermore, he must have a good reputation among outsiders so that he does not fall into disgrace and the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And they must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as a deacon. Wives, too, must be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons must be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I want to ask if you would to join me in prayer as we pray for God to enter into this time of worship service and encourage us, inspire us, and bless these men and their families. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to this special time and this unique service where we are setting apart men to serve us, I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will just fill this place. Not because you're obligated to do so, but because we are a desperate people and we long to see you lifted and honored and worshiped. I pray, Father, that you will inspire the Holy Spirit that lives within us, that we will be set free to pray and support and undergird these men as they serve us. Thank you for calling them out. Thank you for their lives, for the years that they have lived before others, and they have watched them, and they now are competent to serve, and the congregation is confident to set them aside. Come into this place, Heavenly Father. Let us honor you. Thank you for giving us men. We have many, many great ladies that serve in our congregation, but we are stronger because there are fathers and husbands who take the lead, who share the gospel, who undergird the ministry of the church, and they walk forward as we step into new territories to be obedient. And thank you for the men of our congregation. We love you. We certainly invite you into this place, and we ask you to bless us in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to begin this morning by asking five of our currently inactive deacons. That means they've been off for at least a year from active service, and they may have attended the meetings that the deacons have and participate in certain ways, but they've been considered inactive. We're going to ask them to step forward, and when they step forward, have their wives and their family that are here stand in their place at the pew. So our first deacon that is becoming active this year is Dan Duell. So Dan, if you would step forward, and your family, please stand in support of you. A second deacon that is coming this year to serve again is Jonathan Litterer. So Jonathan, if you would come forward, and Rachel, if she's able, with your new daughter maybe, to stand. And Dan, go ahead and scoot a little bit forward and leave, there you go, leave some room for the guys coming. Also, we want to welcome Mark Montgomery and his wife Anna. Hopefully, if she's here in the room, sometimes she's serving. There's Anna. And then also Harry Now and his wife Jenny. They are new great-grandparents as of today, this morning, so we congratulate them for that. And then our fifth inactive deacon, now becoming active, is Alan Taylor. His wife Christy is with him and their family. So these men would come. Now our three, if you ladies would please stay standing, your family stay standing. We have three men that are going to be ordained as deacons. We'll let them stand on this side of the platform, and they will bring their wives with them. So Jason Bolin and his wife Emily, if you would come please. And Jack Brooks and his wife Deronda. There they are. And James Erfurt and his wife Dee Dee. All right, now, if you are family members of these or in their Sunday school class, or you want to just offer them support, not everyone may be standing, but we want to ask you that want to express your support to these, would you please stand? And then we're going to ask them to make a commitment. So Sunday school classes or discipleship leaders or family members, if you would stand. Okay, so gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment, and at the end of what I read, which will contain a zillion things that you're promising to do, you will say, I do, all right? So for our deacons who are becoming active and our newly ordained deacons, do you promise to strive to so live that you may honor Christ by your life, and do you promise in the presence of this congregation to accept the responsibility of the office of deacon in this church, and to the best of your knowledge and ability to discharge all the duties of this office? If so, would you please say, I do. And congregation, do you, members of First Baptist Church of Olive Branch, acknowledge these men as deacons in the church? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If you do, please indicate so by rising, if you would, please. We're going to ask Brother Bill Britton to come now and to pray for these deacons that are becoming active again and those that will be newly ordained.
Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are so thankful for the privilege of being in this place this day for such an occasion as this. God, I'm so thankful that not only in a time like this, but in our regular church life, Father, I have seen these men and these families plug in and be so very active. And Lord, they've used their talents and their gifts for you. And Lord, they continue to do that. And I just want to thank you for that. And Father, I thank you for so many others that do that as well. Father, I specifically this day thank you for these folk. And I ask your blessings on them as they continue to serve you in this place you've called them to. God, I just pray that you'll use them mightily. Father, I pray for these men, that you'll just bless them as they use their gifts of leadership. And Father, I just pray that you'll be glorified in their lives. Thank you, Father, for their families. I ask your blessings on them as well, as they support them in so many different ways. And God, I pray for our church family as we support them. Father, help us to pray for them regularly, and help us, Father, to do all we can to support them and love them and be their friends and be there for them. Now, Father, we praise you that we're a part of a church that's able to have people like this to come forward and to be supportive and to answer the call. And God, I just pray that you would bless them in a mighty way as a result of their willingness to say yes to you. Father, I love you and I praise you. And I lift my prayer now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And our men who are coming back on, you may go back to and have a seat.
Jonathan and Alan, we're going to use you again, so if you'll stay here close by. James, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to escort Dee Dee right up the steps, and there's an X there. If you would kneel there and let Dee Dee kneel or stand by you. Jack, if you and Deronda would come, and if you would kneel there and let Deronda stand by you. And Jason and Emily, we're going to let you all come over on this side. Okay. Now, each of these men have selected a couple of our deacons in cooperation with me to represent the congregation and to pray specifically for them. So for Jason, Chris Taylor and Jonathan Litterer are going to come and pray for them. So Chris, if you would come, and Jonathan. For Jack, Carrie Fries and Mark Dye are going to represent the congregation and deacons to pray for him. So is Carrie here? Okay. Mark, if you'd come. And then Alan Taylor and Joe Lee are going to be praying for James. So if you two men would come forward. Okay. And Shay, I'm going to ask you if you'd come and join Mark Dye and pray for Jack so that he has another support. Carrie evidently was not able to step in. So, while these current deacons place their hands on this couple and represent the congregation in anointing them and commissioning them to service, I'm going to ask you to pray for them as well. And in just a moment, then, Edwin Woods will come, and he will pray for all of us in a closing prayer for this part of the service. So while they pray for them, let's pray as well.
Heavenly Father, God, it's such a privilege to come before you today, Father, in your church. Father, I'm thankful for the privilege that we have to serve. And God, I just come before you today and consider it an honor to lift up these men and their wives, and Father, their willingness to accept the role of a deacon. Father, I thank you for those that are rolling back on. God, I thank you for Harry and Jenny and Alan and Christy and Dan and Patty and Jonathan and Rachel and Mark and Anna. Lord, I thank you for the privilege that I've had serving alongside of these men and what I've been able to see them do, see you do in their lives. God, what a privilege it is for our church to have men of God that are willing to stand up and be counted and to do what needs to be done. Father, today we especially lift up the new deacons as they roll on, maybe a little uncertain of what's expected, Father, but willing to step out on faith. God, I thank you for Jason and Emily. God, just continue to be with them and bless them as a family, Lord, and Jack and Deronda. We thank you for their service and ask that you would just continue to grow together in you. And Father, we thank you for James and Dee Dee. God, just continue to bless their lives. And Lord, as deacons, sometimes we're uncertain of what we need to be doing. And Father, I pray for our body that we would be simply obedient, that we would be there for the staff to step in the gaps as needed. Father, that we would be there to step in to people's lives when needed. God, that we would just be servants, that we wouldn't wear this as a badge of honor, but God, as a badge of servanthood. Father, I thank you for the legacy of deacon bodies that go back to the calling out of the first deacons. And Father, think of the roles and the times over the years that deacons have been able to be strong influencers within the church and the Christian community when they were simply obedient and willing to live out your word. Father, I pray that for the men here at First Baptist that try to stand in this gap as deacons. I thank you for each one of them. I thank you for their heart. Father, I pray you'll continue to give all of us direction. Father, that we'll be the men that you've called us to be. And Father, we just come to you today humbly thanking you for the privilege to serve you and knowing that, God, you can use us if we're just willing and obedient. So I thank you, Father, and we just give these men up to you, Father, for your service, and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
They're getting kind of old, so we'll have to help them up a little bit. I want to share gifts on behalf of the congregation with them, so let me do that before we dismiss them. Is my mic on here? Okay. James and Dee Dee, we welcome you into our body of deacons and wives, and we're so grateful. We watched your life, and people have admired how you lived. We expect you to keep doing that because you're a model now, an example to others. We want to share with you a certificate, and also we've been giving our deacons over the last few years a book that will help you kind of understand a little bit about what we're doing as deacons and serving the church. So you all take that, and God bless you. Jack is one of those, in my opinion, a quiet man that's a servant of the Lord. I've always admired him. I love Deronda. I've worked with her on some committees, and great family, beautiful daughters. And we've watched your life as well, Jack, and we want to give you this certificate to let you know today that we believe that God wants to use you in the life of our church to serve, and a book that will help you kind of understand a little bit about that. So God bless you. Okay. Jason and Emily are a quiet couple as well until they're with their boys, Matthew and Andrew. And then they have a lot of fun together. Jason, it's been my privilege to get to know you as since I've been the pastor here. We want to give you this certificate of ordination and this book that kind of help you understand how to get started and do well as a deacon. Emily and Jason, we welcome you guys. Would you join me in applauding them, giving them their support? We'll let you all return to your seats. You may return to your seats. Okay.
Excited to see what God's going to do in and through these lives of these men and how God's going to use them here in our church. Would you stand? We're going to worship together. As well as we were developing the service today, I talked with Michael asked us, said, hey, you know, what some songs that come to mind, some things that pop up. He said, Andy walks with me and he talks with me. I said, oh, you mean in the garden? Great hymn about God walking alongside us, guiding us and leading us along the way as we spend time with him, saying, hey, we're not going to do things on our own. We're going to walk hand in hand with the Lord. So join me as we sing this great hymn.
I come to the garden.
When Michael Carpenter was in the fifth grade, his family moved here to First Baptist Church. So he has essentially grown up here in the church. To me, it is amazing that we have been able to see a boy turn into a young man and now a father and a husband and a servant in the church. And you've watched his life. He's lived before the congregation. And he has lived in such a way that we are willing and confident about ordaining him to the gospel ministry. He has been serving as an intern first and then also as one of our associate pastors over the last 5 years or so. And yet he has not been ordained. I've been talking with him since I've been here, and we've worked toward this day together. He is currently trying to complete his master's degree through Mid-America Seminary in Memphis. And I'm sure he will get that done by 2021, 22, something like that. Hopefully in the next year and a half or so, he'll get that complete. So I'm going to ask Michael if he'll come now. I thought it would be important for you to hear a little bit about his heart and how God has worked in his life. And so I want him to come and share that with us today. Michael, let me step to the side here. I've got my mic. You can speak into this one. And tell the congregation a little bit about how you came to accept Christ as your Savior, commit your life to Christ.
Well, growing up, I lived in a house where my parents always brought us to church. And we grew up ever since we were babies in the church. And they also were the type of parents to really pour scriptures into our lives when we were younger. I can remember my dad reading Bible stories to us as we got ready for bed almost every night when we were younger. And I remember one night I couldn't go to sleep, and I kind of had this overwhelming sensation. And I went and got my mom, and she helped me, and we prayed to receive Christ when I was about 7 or 8. I will say when I was closer to middle school age, is a time when it became really real, a time when you really start to face difficulties in life, I think. And that's where I feel like it became a real, kind of more tangible in my life when I was about 13. I remember that. But a lot of being brought up in church and then just encouragement from my parents.
Well, somewhere along the way there in your Christian walk, you sensed that God had something special for your life. So how did you get to the place where you felt like he was calling you into serving in ministry?
Well, when I was in high school, my later years of high school, I think it was, he really felt a call to ministry. At the time, I thought it was youth ministry, but I think that's because I was in youth ministry. So I surrendered to that call then. And then when I was, I think my junior year, at Ole Miss, I came back for a summer and was discipled by Charlie. And that's where I felt like God was calling me to missions. And as I went back and looked, I saw where God had used me. It may be minor leadership roles or just ways to plug in more than some of the other youth were. And I could tell back then, or I could tell as I looked back, that God was had been forming this in my life ever since I was younger. So,
I will tell you that many of the ministers I've talked to through the years have said that when they were ordained, someone told them, if you can do anything else, go do it, because ministry is difficult and you face some difficult days ahead. So I thought it might be good on this particular occasion for you to think through and tell us, what is it that compels you? Why do you feel like God can use you? What is it about life and people that drives you to want to serve?
One thing I've began to notice, especially being on staff here, is being able to lead people through the scriptures and help them understand where God might use them. That's been a big joy to me, being able to teach CBD classes and Sunday school and other Bible studies. But also, when you encourage someone to do something and then you hear something back later from them and they've said, oh, wow, God used the words that you were able to speak. And for me, it's not about the words that I spoke. It was the message that I feel like God gave me and laid it on my heart, and He used it to be able to help someone else and encourage them. And so that's been really a joy of being in the ministry. But something that really drives me is just to tell other people about Jesus. I mean, when I was in middle school, I started going on mission trips and realizing the importance of telling people about Christ and the importance of what their life would be like if we didn't take those opportunities, and knowing that God puts you in certain places for certain reasons. And so one thing that compels me in ministry is I feel like God's led me to this place in life and has led Megan and I here to be able to serve in a pretty unique way in a church that we grew up in. And so we really look forward to seeing how God will use us to help lead others in our congregation to go and tell people about Jesus, whether it's across the street or on the other side of the world. So.
Okay, thank you. I do want to tell you as a congregation and just let you know that Michael was examined by a group of our deacons and pastors. We have invited some representatives from the Extended Missions Network, our local association of churches in DeSoto and Dade counties, to come and be there. And so he was questioned about his commitment and his service and his adherence to the scriptures. And so we have confidence in presenting him to the church for ordination. I'm going to ask Megan to join him now and Michael to kneel here by this side, and Megan to join him by standing by his side. And there are six men who have particular roles that we've invited to come and represent the congregation in laying on of hands and praying for Michael. So while they come, Joe Lee will be first, and Edwin Woods, Shay Tandy, Mark Nichols, Charlie Schaefer, and myself. So if men, you would come and just line up, and one at a time, they will be laying hands on these two and praying for them. I want to invite you as a congregation to be praying as well while we do that together. And some of you may even want to just raise a hand in this direction, kind of laying on of hands as well. And as we pray together, join us in this time. Joe to come and lead us as a congregation in prayer for this time of service.
Let's pray. Father, what an honor it is to stand before you. What an honor it is to know that you have personally selected Michael and Megan. God, thank you for their life. God, thank you for their answering the call from you. God, there are many times that you've called on men and they've rejected that call. But God, Michael has selected to be set apart, to be honored and be blessed by a holy and precious God. And God, we praise you for this family this morning. God, thank you for their life and what they're going to lead and the legacy that they're going to leave behind. God, thank you for their children. God, I pray that you would protect them in every step ahead of them. God, I pray that you would bind Satan from their life, from their relationships. Everywhere they go, God, I pray that they represent you in all that they do. God, may people in this community and around this world would recognize you in their life. God, I pray that you'd be with their ministry as it begins today. God, that you would use them to draw people to your holy, precious name. God, I pray that you would walk with them and that you would talk with them. Every day that they wake up, God, I pray that you would meet them there. Every day that they lay their heads on their pillow, God, I pray that you would meet them there. God, thank you for the privilege and honor to know Michael and Megan and what they're going to do in their life, and what you're going to do through them. God, I pray before you this morning that you would be blessed by the activities that were represented today. And God, that you would use this family to grow out and win souls for you. God, Michael understands that it's not about him. I know it's hard. But it's about winning souls for you. It's about eternity. And God, I pray that at this moment, he can reflect on what you've done for him thus far. And the many, many, many things that you will do before him. Go before him and Megan. Lay out the groundwork, God. Knock on the doors before Michael even gets there, God. And you would just bring people to their knees, hungry to hear the word of God. God, thank you for this church and to raise leaders from children to adolescence to adulthood. God, there may be someone in this congregation this morning that you have plans for. God, I pray that you would just voice that to them. Put a burning in their heart that they can't sleep without answering that call. God, continue to use this church to send out leaders across this country and across this world to bring people to the Almighty God. And Father God, again, I just thank you for the privilege and the honor to be a part of what you're doing. And as we leave here today, God, I pray that each person in this congregation remembers Michael was called to be a minister, but we are all called to share the gospel. God, I pray that we would have a desire in our hearts to walk across that street, to step across that cubicle to the person sitting next to us and share what you've done for us. Some 2,000 years ago, when you stepped out in heaven, as we just celebrated Christmas, God, thank you so much for that. God, thank you so much for dying on that cross that we have an opportunity to meet you face to face. Again, I praise you for this day and this family, and we give them to you, and they may they be honoring and pleasing to you before your sight. And it's the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
We also have prepared and want to give to Michael a certificate of this ordination. And old pastors like me, but especially young ministers like him, are now using a lot more electronic Bible study materials. So we're going to try to help him get a commentary set for his electronic Bible study materials. And I'm just going to give him this book that he can borrow just for today as a sign of that commitment on behalf of the congregation. So Michael, we love you. We appreciate you. I'll let you keep that as a token of our pledge. And Megan, we welcome you into our family as well. So God bless you, and we'll let you be seated, okay? If I can step out of the way. Michael, who he would like to have present the charge, which is a challenge to him and to also to the congregation, without hesitation, he said, well, Charlie Schaefer's had the most impact in my life. So Charlie is prepared to preach, and he's going to, by golly, even though we're a little bit over time. Charlie, come and share with us what God has laid on your heart and preach to us, man. So we're ready to hear you.
Good morning. You guys can hang in there for another 30, right? Look, it really is a privilege today. It is my privilege to be able to be giving a charge to Michael as we ordain him this morning into the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. I've known Michael for probably about 8 or 10 years. I can remember first meeting Michael, and he had this little Ole Miss frat boy look, and driving this really cool car with this sound system that just my ears are still hurting. And now if you look at him now, he's just this amazing family man. Loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart. Leads Megan in a godly way and his children. And so it is a privilege this morning. Michael, I have seen the call of God on your life for some time now. And I believe that God has gifted you in many ways for this day and your ministry moving forward, intellectually, theologically, and pastorally. It's not surprising that we, as a church body, are celebrating this with Michael today. For many years, he has followed hard after Jesus Christ. Some of you have known him longer than I have, and you know for yourselves that he is a Christ follower. So that it's exciting to me. So although this charge is for Michael, it's also for all of us. You see, when God calls a person to full-time ministry, it's really a team effort. Family, friends, our church body as a whole, we all play a huge role in the success and in the failure of Michael in ministry. So with that being said, today, this message, and it will be brief, is applicable to all of us. Today is not just for Michael, but one that, if we are all together, if we're all together as one, a fully functioning body of believers, is also for each and every one of us. So I challenge all of you to take in what is said this morning, and to the best of your ability, apply the things that you hear, not just here at church, but in your own lives at home, as well in Michael's ministry, pouring into him in the future here at FBCOB. So I wanted just three quick things that I feel are very important to understand as a minister in order to have a healthy, effective ministry. The first one is this: understand that you are to be a servant. Psalm 37:4. And today we're just going to use some scripture that are very dear to my heart. I try to apply these things. And as Michael has mentioned, we've spent some time together in discipleship. And today, Michael, I just want you to look at this as another session for us together. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It is your responsibility, Michael, to seek out and do the will of God. Understand that in order to do the will of God, you must seek him in prayer. In prayer, in faith, and dig into his word with a reckless abandon. Understand, church, that this also applies to all of us. In order to be a true servant of Jesus Christ, all of us must find and do the will of God. We must seek God in all things. And this takes work, just like everything good in life. If you are a success in the business world or in the ministry or in school, you didn't do it just sitting on the couch. You had to put in hard work. God honors hard work. So, Michael, I encourage you this morning to put in the work, to pray, and to dig into the word. And I kind of wanted to illustrate that this morning with something that I know Michael is familiar with, and I am recently familiar with as well, but this onesie. We received this onesie from a friend of ours, and it's actually a Michael Jordan onesie. Go figure. But we all know who Michael Jordan is, right? He's just a famous basketball player in the Hall of Fame. And he got to where the level of performance that he played at because of the hard work. So this onesie says, eat, sleep, hoop, repeat, and become legendary. Eat, sleep, hoop, repeat, and become legendary. Now think about that as a minister. And I talk about praying and digging. Eat, sleep, pray, dig into the word, repeat, become an effective minister. Become an effective Christian. Eat, sleep, pray, dig into the word, repeat, become effective. Not only should I, would I like you to understand that you're to be a servant, understand also who your master is. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Michael, this morning, understand that you need to trust that God will always take care of you and your family when you acknowledge his presence in your lives and in your ministry. God will take care of you in many ways, but there are three key ways that I want to talk to you about this morning. First is financially. Listen, in the ministry, know that there's going to be months where there's no more money left. You got to trust that God will be your provider. God will be your provider, and you have to be a good steward of that in the good times and in the bad. Physically, trust God physically. Understand that he is in control of your health. You need to take care of yourself. I need to be preaching to myself, but you need to rest well and you need to eat right, okay? You need to get some rest at night. Even when those things are running around in your head, Michael, make sure that you rest your body and you take care of yourself. You cannot take care of others and their ministry needs if you're not taking care of yourself and you're not physically able. And also spiritually. Ministry can get rough and it's not easy at times. You must take care of yourself on a spiritual level and trust that God is your master. Kind of goes back to praying and digging. Church, listen, I want you to know this morning that we love you. As a staff, we love you dearly. We pray for you. But I must be honest with this point. You know, you can, as most churches, I am sure, because we're all filled, our churches are filled with imperfect people worshiping a perfect God, sometimes we can be difficult. I ask this morning that you support Michael, support our staff, even support him even when you disagree with him. He ultimately answers to an audience of one, and that's God. God is his master. Sometimes you all may not understand why we do the things that we do as ministers, but trust in the Lord that we are seeking his direction, his ways, and his will for our ministries and our church as a whole. Listen, what we need and what Michael needs today as a young minister is a champion. He needs champions to walk alongside him and help him in ministry, as well as our other ministers. Instead of the complaining and sometimes the preference, trust that God is working through Michael and follow him. Be a champion for him. Michael, understand that Jesus is your master. And lastly, understand, Michael, that you are just a steward. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There's a big difference, Michael, in being a good steward and taking ownership of something. Stewardship is defined like this in Merriam-Webster's dictionary: the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Again, there's a big difference in being a good steward of something and taking ownership of something. Understand this morning that as a minister, you are called to be a good steward. A good steward of church finances. A good steward of your ministry time. A good steward of your ministry workers, which many sit here today celebrating this with you. But most of all, listen, you are called to be a good steward of your ministry relationships. The relationships that you will build in the ministry that God has given you here and other places that He may take you. Relationships with fellow staff members and church members. Relationships with other pastors in our community, community leaders. But most importantly, I want you to hear this morning, relationships with the people that God brings into your life that He truly wants you to pour into, and that's your disciples. We are in the people business. Be a good steward of those people. Always be a man of your word. Michael, if you hear anything I'm saying today, as a minister, awkward moment. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Can I not get an amen on that one? As a minister, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Church, as Christians, I've said it many times from here, the world needs people who have come alive in Jesus Christ. As a Christian in the community, in your workplace, if you say you're going to do something, do it. If they can't trust you as Christians, who can they trust? Now you know why I maybe got a little emotional. Be a man of your word. When you tell someone you're going to do something, do it. Love them before they have a chance to love you. And understand this morning, Michael, that it is a privilege. It is a privilege to have the opportunity to make an impact in someone's life. Take that seriously and never take that for granted. God's going to use you and Megan in a big way. And it's a huge privilege. It's a huge privilege and a huge responsibility. Take that serious. Michael, I'll close with this. You're a disciple. You are a disciple. Train other disciples. Stick with me here. Train those disciples to make disciples. And then ensure that your disciples are training their disciples to make disciples. Be a good steward of people, Michael. I love you, buddy. And I can't wait to see. And I can't wait to see how God's going to use you and Megan in this life together. He's blessed Stephanie and I in our church with you guys. And I know He's got a huge plan for you and Megan and your 10 children. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this day that you're setting aside to ordain Michael into the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for those that came today. And God, I pray for our church, Lord. I pray that we will be mindful and open, God, to walking alongside men and women to be ordained into the ministry. Father, give us a desire to watch where you're working and join you in that work. God, there are men in our church, Lord, that we know you've set aside. And I pray, Lord, that you will give us a desire to walk alongside them and raise them up, God. Thank you for Megan. Thank you for Michael. God, bless his ministry. Bless his family. Use him in a mighty way. God, use him as a channel for the Holy Spirit to work through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
One of the things that's been very important for me since I've come to be your pastor is that you understand that as a staff, we have prayed for you and we love you, but we've also prayed and learned to love each other deeply. Jason Campbell is with our young adults in Atlanta. Daniel Yates is over with all of your children this morning, trying to figure out how to fill in the last few minutes here. Stacy Doss is one of our partners in ministry and working with our preschoolers, and we have learned to love each other. We love Michael, we love Megan, and they're an important people to us. I know they are to you as well. And so during this time of commitment, Brother Andrew's going to come and lead us in singing a song, and I've wrestled with how best to let you express your commitment. I think what I'd like to ask you to do, because we're going to let you come and greet these men and their wives later, but what I'd like for you to do is just lift them to the Lord in prayer, to pray for them just one more time, that God will use their lives, protect them. You know our world is changing. The stuff that Michael and Megan are going to face in ministry is going to be even more difficult than what Joyce and I have gone through in our time in ministry. Just because of our culture change and society change, and they will need your prayers and your support to lead the way. So if you would, let's stand together as Brother Andrew leads us in singing, and in however God might lead you, express your commitment. We know we have some that maybe today need to join our church. We have some that need to be saved, and maybe there's some people here today that need to make a commitment. God's calling you to some aspect of ministry. We're going to take a few minutes and let God deal with us in those regards. So Andrew, lead us if you would.
He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are sealed, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in heaven. This gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was on me, for I am here.
Hadaway to lead us in prayer at this time. Frank has been a deacon. He served in ministry and has been a chaplain in groups that he has been associated with, and I think he's fully equipped to lead us at this time just to praise the Lord and pray.
Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for all you've done. And we praise you, Father, for all you're going to do in 2016. And Father, we thank you especially for this wonderful time of worship this morning. And we pray, Father, that you'll take our tithes and our offerings, that you'll bless them, that you'll multiply them and use them for your kingdom's work, not only here but around the world. And Father, again, we pray that you would forgive us for those thoughts that we have that we shouldn't have. Forgive us of the things that we do that we shouldn't do. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
About $5,000 shy of our $30,000 goal for Lottie Moon. There is still time to contribute over and above your regular giving at church or online. Please pray about how God might use you to help spread His word around the world through the International Mission Board. Letters were sent out to all standing committee members, deacons, trustees, church officers, and ministry staff for a committee organization meeting on Sunday, January 17th at 4 p.m. The time has been changed to 3 p.m. Please make note of this change, and we look forward to seeing all committee members there. DNOW 2016 is just a few weeks away. Upgrade weekend is January 29th through 31st, and registration is open now. All students 6th through 12th grade are invited to a weekend of fun and renewal. Cost is $60. You may find more information and sign up online at fbcob.org/DNOW. Sign up today. Please continue to be in prayer for some of our high school students and young adults as they are away at the Passion Conference in Atlanta. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. See you next week.
I'd like to ask Jason and Emily and Jack and Deronda and James and Dee Dee and Michael and Megan to make their way up here, maybe two couples over here and two over here. And after Brother Bill dismisses us in prayer, I'm going to give you a chance to please come and encourage them, speak into their life, and let them know of your support. Thank you for hanging with us here to the end of this service. It's a great way to start the first of the year, and we'll see you next Sunday. We also will see you Wednesday. We'll be celebrating Wednesday worship together through the month of January, so please come and join us on Wednesday at 6:15. Brother Bill, dismiss us to the Lord's care. And you all come and greet them if you would.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had together, Lord. What a great way, as the pastor said, to start off 2016. We pray, Father, that as we go from this place, that you will go with us. And, Lord, I just pray that you'll use us mightily for your glory. We love you and we praise you. And we lift our prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
didn't realize.